You'll turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 10. This morning we come to think of the king's kindness refused. The king's kindness refused. We've been looking at the life of David in 1 and 2 Samuel. And over the last few chapters in 2 Samuel, we've seen pictures of David as the warrior king, the victorious king, the covenant king, the king who shows steadfast love and kindness. When we come to chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, in many ways it appears to be a chapter that just gives further details about David's victories. It's a chapter that we could easily skip over, because back in chapter 8, we've already had a summary of God giving David success and rest from his enemies. And if you look at chapter 8, verse 12, we're told here that that included victory over Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, who appear in chapter 10, the Philistines, Amalek, and Hadadezer, the Syrian king of Zobah, who also appears in chapter 10. So chapter 10 is bringing us back to the summary of chapter 8. So is it really necessary? Do we need these extra details? Well, we could say we get it. David was the victorious king. Well, I want us to take a step back and to look at this chapter in its context. Because chapter 10 links what has happened before with what is going to come later. It gives us the context of what's going to happen. Chapter 10 details for us this battle or the war with the Ammonites. This is a war that's going to last for some time. David himself would go out to battle at one stage. In verse 14, we're told that the Ammonites, on seeing their Syrian allies flee, they too retreat and they enter the city of Rabbah. Joab, David's army commander, then returns to Jerusalem. I wonder if you picked up on what I said there. I said it was the city of Rabbah. Well, it doesn't say that in verse 14. You might say, well, how do you know this was the city of Rabbah? Look at chapter 11, verse 1. The Ammonites are besieged at Rabbah. Chapter 11 follows on. This is the siege at the city where Uriah the Hittite would be killed because of David's sin. So chapter 10 is setting for us the historical context for what's going to happen in chapter 11. It links in with what's to come. But it also links with what has already happened, because it gives us a contrast. That contrast being the difference between Mephibosheth from chapter 9 and Hanun, this Ammonite king, here in chapter 10. Both of these men are shown kindness, covenant kindness. One man, however, receives it. The other rejects it. Where one man is blessed because he accepts steadfast loving kindness, the other man is pursued and defeated because he has rejected and mocked steadfast loving kindness. So chapter 10 links with the previous chapter in showing us a contrast. Chapter 10 therefore gives us a warning. When the king offers kindness, we would be fools to reject it. We would be fools to turn it down. This is what we're going to be looking at this morning as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 10. A chapter that sets for us the context of what's to come in chapter 11, but gives us a contrast with what happened in chapter 9. Chapter 10 is about the king's kindness being refused. And ultimately, of course, this is a warning. A warning against rejecting the loving kindness, the steadfast covenant love of Jesus Christ. And chapter 10 will show us that's a serious matter. King's kindness refused. Well, let's look at this chapter under three headings this morning. The first one is an invitation of kindness. An invitation of kindness. Has anyone ever offered you kindness that you've turned down? I think most of us probably have. We don't want to impose on people. We don't want to be a burden on people. Perhaps we can think to ourselves, well, I can get through this myself. Sometimes when people offer us kindness, we don't want to accept it because we don't want to appear to be weak. Well, I want to suggest this morning that there's a kindness that we must never turn down. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 10. We're told that the king of Ammon has died, and his son Hanun now rules in his place. And David says in verse 2, I will deal loyally. That's the same word as the kindness given to us in chapter 9. This word, chesed, the steadfast covenant love of faithfulness. David says, I will deal in kindness, in chesed, with Hanun, the son of Nahash. Because his father dealt in kindness, in faithful kindness with me. Now, a bit of explanation as to who these people are. The Ammonites, they were the descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Ben-Ami, their forefather, he was the son who was born to Lot and his daughter. You can read of that shameful event in Genesis chapter 19. Lot's daughters were fearful that they would never have sons or children. They were unmarried, and so they got their father drunk and lay with him. And so one of those sons, Ben-Ami, he's the forefather of the Ammonites. This nation, they were often enemies with Israel. And yet God also expressly said that they were to be left alone. Israel wasn't to wipe them out. Similar to Moab, the other descendant of Lot. Because God had given them their land as a possession. Sometimes it's good for us to have these things in our minds when we come across them in Scripture. The Ammonites appear earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 11. They attack a city called Jabesh-Gilead that we've come across before. And that was during the reign of King Saul. And Saul was able to help that city. Nahash, who was the Ammonite king, was cruel and wicked. What he threatened to do was to go around and gouge out the right eye of everyone in the city. Man, woman, and child. He was a horrible, horrible man. A wicked, sinful man. But Saul saved the city. So why would David want to show kindness to the Ammonites? On account of Nahash, the father of Hanun. The simple answer is, we don't know. We just don't know. David says that Nahash showed him kindness. Possibly, this is the most likely explanation, when David was on the run from Saul, Nahash showed David some sort of kindness. And so David now wants to repay that. What we do know is that when David heard of the death of Nahash, that he sends messengers to Hanun, his son, saying, I'm going to show you kindness for the sake of your father. It's an invitation. It's an extension of grace, of faithful, steadfast kindness. I want to show that to you. David reaches out and he extends this offer of chesed. The Ammonites, although enemies of Israel, although they were wicked and cruel, we shouldn't be surprised that David wanted to show chesed, because is this not the pattern of Scripture? There is a reaching out of grace, of kindness. In the New Testament, it's the gospel, that covenant, loving kindness of God. God saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The loving forgiveness of God to us in Jesus Christ. That's the kindness, the chesed that's offered throughout Scripture to undeserving, unworthy people, even the enemies of God. Every time the gospel is preached, every time the seed is sown, it's an extension, it's an offer of loving kindness, the good news of Jesus Christ, given for you. Your sins can be forgiven. You can have new life. You can have eternal life. We offer the gospel freely to all people without distinction. We are to go and proclaim the good news of God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. Last week we saw that the covenant loving kindness was being extended to someone who was unable to save themselves. One unworthy, Mephibosheth, someone who calls himself a dead dog. And now we see the offer of loving kindness again being given to one far removed from the covenant community. Kindness being offered to even enemies, even the Hanuns of this world. Have you ever been offered kindness that you've refused? This is an offer of kindness that must not be refused. The good news of Jesus Christ. God's forgiving love being offered to you again this morning. It's being presented and proclaimed to you. As a church, we're not just to proclaim the invitation of the gospel, but we're also to show this loving kindness of Jesus Christ to others, extending loving kindness. John Calvin, in his sermons on 2 Samuel, he says, when it comes to doing good, let us not be concerned about our own profit. Let us not speculate in order to know what the outcome will be. That is, don't think to yourself, if I'm kind to that person, will they become a Christian? Calvin says, that doesn't matter. Because the outcome depends, he says, on God. But let us do what God commands us. Doing good, showing loving kindness, and giving the offer of the gospel. Extending that invitation of kindness and grace, even to our enemies, those far off. Like David, we're to extend that invitation of kindness that Scripture commands, that Scripture presents to us, that forgiving love in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have here a rejection of kindness. A rejection of kindness. Has anyone ever offered you kindness that you've turned down? There is a kindness that must never be turned down. Verses 3 and 4. On hearing this invitation to peace, Hanun and his princes, they view this offer with suspicion and distrust. What's the catch? They're saying. Why is he being so nice? What's in it for David? What is it that he really wants? And David has offered chesed, loving kindness, but has been received with suspicion and distrust. Isn't that often how the gospel is received? You share with someone the good news of the gospel in whatever form. You're speaking to a friend. You maybe invite them to church and tell them something about how you came to faith, God's grace in your life. What is it you really want? What do you want out of me? Or maybe you've heard people say, the church just wants my money. That's what they want. That's why they go around and tell people this gospel. It's so the people can come into the church and give them money. That's all that they're after. How many times have you heard sentiments like that? Now, some of us are more suspicious than others. Some of us are more trusting than others. It's interesting that Matthew Henry, in his commentary, this is what he says. False men are ready to think others as false as themselves, and those that bear ill will to their neighbors are resolved not to believe that their neighbors bear any goodwill to them. Unfounded suspicion indicates a wicked mind. Always viewing people with suspicion and distrust, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, it perhaps reflects where our hearts are. I'm not saying we should be gullible and believe everything that everybody out in the world tells us. We're not to be unwise. But when we're dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be trusting without any suspicion. Matthew Henry says that false men are ready to think others as false as themselves. And Hanun shows his falseness, his slyness, as he views with suspicion the grace extended to David, just shows what a twisted man he actually is. And so he views this extension of the kindness of David, this invitation of Hesed, he views it with suspicion and distrust. And this suspicion is accompanied then with humiliation. He humiliates David's messengers. He shaves off half of their beards, and he cuts off their clothes at the hips to expose their nakedness. The beards were a sign of manliness in David's day. It was a symbol of manliness. And so this wasn't some sort of practical joke that Hanun was doing. This was shaming these men, ridiculing these men, and then cutting off the lower half of their clothes to expose them. He deals in a cruel, callous way, humiliating and mocking the messengers of the king. Scripture tells us that we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the witness to the world, the aroma of Christ. And through us, the witness of Jesus Christ is presented to the world. But it's the aroma of death to death to those who are perishing. You see, as Christians, we are a stench to an unbelieving world. And because of that, we're hated, reviled, and laughed at and mocked. And that's true when we offer the extension of kindness and grace. Those who refuse the gospel, who often view it with suspicion and distrust, then go on to openly make jokes about the gospel and to mock it. They even go as far as trying to humiliate, and they do humiliate, Christ's people. We're going to be considering more of that this evening as we come to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. But all of this is just rejection. It's a refusal of the grace being offered. Hanun then adds to his sin. When he sees that he has become a stench to David in verse 6, rather than going and seeking forgiveness from David, instead what he does is he entrenches himself further in his sin and he gathers an army. Rather than going to David and saying, look, David, I was sorry. You extended me grace and kindness. I rejected it. I laughed at you. I humiliated your messengers. David, forgive me. Rather than doing that, Hanun says, right, more and more, let's take our stand against David. Let's gather our army. Let's refuse to humble ourselves. He knows he's in the wrong. They've become a stench to the king. And yet in his stubbornness, he continues to refuse the offer of loving kindness. He hardens himself. Maybe this morning you think that by doing nothing, sitting on the fence, coming to church, listening to the offer of the gospel, you hear the invitation again and again and again, but as of yet, you have not yet come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you think to yourself, well, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Well, here is this rejection. And we see in Hanun that it goes from rejecting, viewing it with suspicion, to hardening himself, to mocking Christ's people, or well, the king's people, and entrenching himself further in sin. It's a serious thing to reject the offer of the gospel. And by not listening, by seeking to forget the offer of the gospel that's been made, coming to Jesus Christ, by refusing to accept the offer, you're just like Hanun. To refuse is a terrible thing. Refusing the greatest kindness, the most wonderful loving kindness that can ever be given, and you're turning your back on it. Here we have the rejection of kindness. And that brings us thirdly and lastly to the justice of kindness. The justice of kindness. Have you ever been offered kindness that you've turned down? Well, listen to the warning here, verses 5 to 19, the rest of the chapter. We'll cover it quickly. David will not have his people mocked. He's not going to have his messengers disgraced. He won't have the chesed of God refused. He shows compassion on his own men, first of all. And that's a comfort to us as Christians. When we are mocked, and for boys and girls, and young people, when you perhaps go to school, and maybe some of your friends or your fellow students, they laugh at you, or they tease you because you're a Christian, and because it's hard, David here looks after his men who were mocked and laughed at. The Bible tells us that God knows, God sees. He knows when you're being laughed at, and he cares for you. And he watches over you. He's compassion for you. Jesus Christ sees when his messengers, when his people are mocked, and he cares for them. And then David goes to war against the Ammonites. They become a stench to David in verse 6. That is, David's nostrils are filled with their sin, with their vileness. David's nostrils are filled with that refusal that they have to accept of his grace. And so David goes to war against them. And David is victorious. The enemy is defeated. This war is detailed for us in these verses. We see the work of Joab, David's general. He splits his troops into two because of the attack that's coming from both sides. And it works. Joab is victorious. And David himself goes out to battle against the Syrians. We have that there in verse 17 and 18. The king goes to battle, and the king defeats the enemy. We're going to have to wait for the conclusion of the judgment on the Ammonites until chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. But a couple of points just to make from this section. Firstly, Joab encourages God's people with the words, "Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people," verse 12. "And for the cities of our God, may the Lord do what seems good to him." And so, friends, when we go out and when we extend that invite of kindness, take Joab's words, "Be of good courage." Yes, we might go out with the invite and people might refuse. People might take their stand against us. They might laugh at us. But be of good courage. May the Lord do what seems good to him. And God can work graciously and mercifully, as we'll think about in a second. For those who refuse, God will judge. There will come a day when all who refuse the kindness of Jesus Christ, that forgiving love found in Christ alone, that day when they will experience eternal judgment, because the King is victorious. But be of good courage, friends, as we go out with that message of forgiving love. Whatever the world might do, the Lord will do what seems good to him. When the King comes, he will judge completely. Friends, God isn't mocked. David wouldn't be mocked. He wouldn't have the chesed of God mocked. And God is the full and final victory. Jesus Christ, our banner. He will judge those who refuse to bow the knee. So what must we do? Well, if you're not a believer this morning, and I can't make this any more clear, this is what God's word is saying to you. If you're not a Christian, it's saying that you must bow the knee to King Jesus. You must come before God. There is an offer of loving kindness, of forgiveness, being extended to you through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sin and rose again. And what you must do is you must come and bow the knee before him. Because if you don't, you're refusing that loving kindness. And that's the most foolish thing that anybody could ever do. Because that leads to eternal death. The King will have victory. You must bow the knee. For those of us who are Christians, what must we do as we read this passage? We must seek to extend this invite of loving kindness. No matter what we may face from the world, at times, by God's grace, it will be accepted. Other times, it will be refused. Listen to the words of God in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. Are we ready to offer that steadfast, forgiving love of God in Jesus Christ to even the Hanans of this world, to those far off? Are we ready to show it and even to be humiliated for it? Are you ready to accept it? To thank God for it? To turn to him in Jesus Christ and know the blessings of his loving kindness upon your life? Have you ever refused the offer of kindness from someone? Have you ever turned it down? Well, friends, there's a kindness that must never be turned down. Amen.